I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KMOX, at your service. BioSTL presents Nothing Impossible. BioSTL, driving the St. Louis innovation economy. Now, Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Michael Calhoun and Travis Sheridan with you on our conversation about local innovation. And we're going to start off the show by talking about workforce development. If you, maybe you've got kids wondering how do we get into STEM careers, get into this technology ecosystem in St. Louis, a lot of jobs available. We'll find out how Harris Stowe State University is partnering with BioSTL to get some programs and get wider access out there.
Yeah, and speaking of access, we're also going to talk to the folks at Mission Control, a local St. Louis-based startup focusing on esports, mostly getting those esports rec leagues, and we'll talk to them about what that really means, online and connected, especially in the midst of this pandemic where you can't go out and maybe join your kickball league or bowling league or softball league. Esports leagues are a way to stay connected and stay active.
Esports leagues. Is this like the intramural version? Not ready to go pro yet, so I'm just doing it for fun?
Just doing it for fun. You know, I'm not Tony Hawk. I won't compete in the X Games, but maybe I can do some online skating.
Is there an X Games for esports? I wonder.
We should check that out.
I haven't seen it on TV, but then again, I haven't checked out Twitch. It's probably up there, I'm sure. And we're going to finish out by taking it from the esports arena to the real pitch. And we're going to get the details on reaction to St. Louis's new Major League Soccer team, St. Louis City SC, some of the innovative aspects of their branding, and also the overwhelming response that, we'll just say it crashed their website.
Yeah, so a full show this week. Stick around. We'll jump right into it. Nothing Impossible presented by BioSTL.
KMOX, at your service. BioSTL presents Nothing Impossible. BioSTL, driving the St. Louis innovation economy. Now, back to Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Welcome back indeed. Michael Calhoun with you along with
Travis Sheridan, and we are joined by Ben Johnson, who's BioSTL's Vice President of Programs, and Freddie Wheels, Harris Stowe State University Assistant Vice President for STEM Initiatives. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. My pleasure to be here.
So, we've talked on this program a number of times about STEM, but there's an interesting partnership that has been growing over time between BioSTL and Harris Stowe State University. Ben or Freddie, do one of you want to tell us about that partnership and how it's evolving?
This is Ben Johnson at BioSTL. I'm happy to give a little bit of background and context and then turn it over to Freddie really want to highlight some of the growth Harris Stowe has seen in their STEM programs and their engagement in the innovation community recently. So for BioSTL, this is a collaboration that dates back a number of years. You know, our mission is to transform St. Louis's economy through innovation and entrepreneurship, particularly our strengths in the medical and plant sciences. And so from our founding in 2001 and helping build the innovation community, our founders and leaders helping build things like Cortex and venture capital firms and our entrepreneur support and investment subsidiary, the BioGenerator. It's been important to ensure that as we grow opportunities, new economic opportunity in the region, that's accessible to everyone. And so we really started in earnest in 2008 when our founder, Dr. Bill Danforth, the former chancellor at Washington University, convened six CEOs, including the former president of Harris Stowe, Dr. Henry Givens. And, you know, since that time, it's been a continuous learning process, understanding what diversity, equity, and inclusion mean, you know, understanding that it's necessary to have programs and direct immediate impact, but insufficient if we also aren't collaborating to address systems and eventually policies. And Harris Stowe is a central partner in all of that, whether that's our own direct support of entrepreneurs of color through our inclusion initiative. We launched the St. Louis Equity and Entrepreneurship Collaborative with nearly 20 other entrepreneur support organizations at Harris Stowe. Harris Stowe is a key founding partner in STEM STL, a regional initiative and collaboration to help improve the region's cradle to career STEM pipeline. So they've long been a partner, and we're excited about the progress that the Harris Stowe is making related to STEM and future collaboration. So I'll kick it over to Freddie, and he can describe a little more in depth what Harris Stowe is working toward.
Yes, you know, as a public institution of higher education, it is critically vital that we build good public-private partnerships with organizations, not only across St. Louis, but St. Louis and beyond. And we have done that with BioSEL, and it helps us because as we look to produce, you know, graduates and prepare them for the workforce, BioSEL has come to the table, been a good partner to the university in helping us do just that, prepare our students to enter the workforce and be viable for jobs in the community. You know, and one thing about Harris Stowe that, you know, I just have to say here is that, you know, for like 163 years, this institution has produced good quality graduates who have become stewards of the St. Louis community. And it's happened under on the foundation of where we started out as a teacher's college. But this institution has transformed and evolved on that good quality foundation to build a good heavy framework in STEM. And that framework has come to us starting about 2010. And, you know, we started to build STEM degrees. You know, right now we have over 50 programs in STEM and, you know, 447 students in STEM as of last year, 2019. So we've done a wonderful job in making the transformation, but overall it is to make sure that we continue to produce good quality people for the St. Louis community.
I do have a follow-up for both Ben and Freddie. It's showing, I've heard that, you know, math and biology programs are now two of the largest declared majors on campus. Where are you seeing your students, your graduates go? Where are they getting employed after completing those degrees?
Right. And being that we largely service the St. Louis community, a lot of our students are staying here, staying put in St. Louis, and going to the STEM force in St. Louis, beyond our community as well, just in throughout the region. And Harris Stowe, I think, is very important to the STEM workforce career for the state of Missouri. So as the state looks to continue to strengthen its STEM workforce and also diversify it, that's where Harris Stowe is very critical in helping create a strong pipeline of diverse candidates that are African-American students that leave us and then go into places like the BioSTLs, like the Millipore Sigmas, the Bayers of the world, you know, the companies that are grounded here in St. Louis. We want to produce good people for them, and we want to continue to not only produce that quality for those companies, but we want to create quality leaders for this community as well. So we extend our people not only just in St. Louis, we're moving students across the country.
Dr. Wills, this is a really interesting, fascinating statistic. Is apparently a decade ago at Harris Stowe, there were no STEM majors or programs, and today, I guess math and biology are the two largest majors on campus.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you know, now, you know, as overall, you were about 1,700 some odd students at Harris Stowe. And like I said, you know, in previously academic year, about 440 or so of our students were STEM majors. And 86% of those students are African-American students, which is great for not only us, it's great for St. Louis, and it's great for the state. So this trajectory that we've been on has been fast-paced, but it's given Harris Stowe ability to do a couple things for the St. Louis region. It has given us the ability to help improve economic status of those that come to our institution from the different parts of the St. Louis area. You know, we deal with a high population of low socioeconomic students, but what we do is that we develop the students, that we produce them, and we make sure that when they leave Harris Stowe, they are ready to enter the workforce and help companies diversify their organizations.
I would echo that. We've seen, you know, as Dr. Wills referenced, Harris Stowe grow up alongside with the innovation community here in St. Louis in recent years, and you know, an increasing recognition across the region that talent, as much as physical facilities and capital are necessary, they're insufficient without the talent to drive companies, whether that's startups or academic labs or our Fortune 500 companies. And Harris Stowe has been very successful at securing National Science Foundation awards and others to help start these programs. And BioSTL has been excited in the last couple of years to partner with Harris Stowe to secure additional resources, most recently a $2.25 million National Science Foundation grant to ensure accelerated graduation rates and connections to experiential learning, internships and externships for those students that they've been very successful at recruiting into STEM majors.
Yes.
Well, Ben, you mentioned startups, research laboratories, and Fortune 500s. I can't help but, you know, make the connection that all three of those types of companies are located just down the street in Cortex. And with BioSTL's new presence there and the close proximity of Harris Stowe State University, what type of synergies are you seeing to be able to, you know, really leverage all those assets?
Well, we're seeing a lot of them, and we had some things developed just this summer where we partnered with BioSTL to introduce a STEM entrepreneurship boot camp for our students. We focused on junior and senior level STEM students, and we wanted to help our students understand the entrepreneurial mindset, and wanted to make sure that they knew concepts about things like seed funding and understanding how to write business plans, how to develop a pitch for entrepreneurship competition, that if they have an idea, that they have the ability to not only take that idea from their minds, but to bring it out and take it to commercialization. So it's very important for us as we continue in this STEM space that we not only focus on the academics, we also focus on workforce development and making sure that our students are ready to go in multiple directions once they graduate from the institution.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. And as you referenced in the question, the proximity to Cortex is certainly crucial. You know, I think Harris Stowe is uniquely positioned both with its student population and its geography in the region, with, you know, continuing resurgence in the Central Corridor, whether that's the adjacency to Cortex or beyond the biosciences. Harris Stowe's connections to the new geofutures, geospatial industry development, the geographic proximity, as well as Dr. Wills described, the continued momentum of STEM programs and the quality of students that are being trained, I think will serve as a foundation for further growth of companies, whether that's in Cortex, around NGA, the Geospatial Center, or, you know, even downtown with T-Rex and beyond.
Dr. Wills, I couldn't help but notice, I think I was driving a couple weeks ago, and I saw a banner somewhere around Compton and Lindell for a Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Harris Stowe State University. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the intention is behind that?
Well, the intention behind that is exactly what it says, innovation and entrepreneurship. And we want to make sure that people in the African-American community here in St. Louis and also beyond have the ability to build their own companies if that's their desire.
there's a dearth of African-American-owned companies, not only here in St. Louis, but across the country. And our intent with that is that we want to make sure that we position our students for graduating and saying that, oh, I want to start a company, and I want to start that company in STEM as well. So not only just being able to start a company, but have a good focus on STEM in other areas as well when they look to start that company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's around that center that BioSTL has been increasingly excited to partner with Harris Stowe to understand the unique role that it can play in St. Louis's entrepreneurship ecosystem. Part of the National Science Foundation grant that I referenced before is about embedding entrepreneurial mindset in the training of students, in the culture of campus, and then the development of this new center. And so, sort of fresh news, finalizing ink drying as we speak. Harris Stowe has hired a new full-time staff to help lead some of that work forward, and in increasing our collaboration, BioSTL will be providing a loaned executive, Dr. Cheryl Watkins-Moore, who has been the director of our inclusion initiative, formerly an entrepreneur in residence with the Biogenerator, entrepreneur herself, and a long industry career, will be providing a portion of her time to work alongside the new staff at Harris Stowe and Dr. Wheels as a senior advisor for innovation and entrepreneurship, to help flush out, what are the regional gaps and demands for supporting entrepreneurs of color, particularly from Black and Latinx communities, and how can Harris Stowe build an asset that is an asset to the St. Louis ecosystem, but even an asset beyond, an asset across the national HBCU, historically Black college community, and really a magnet for making St. Louis a center for Black entrepreneurship and innovation.
Yes. I just want to echo that as well, because as I stated before, Harris State University for about 163 years have been here creating those tours for the community. And as we've developed and expanded and advanced our degree fields into STEM, we also have to continue to look at how can we create wealth for people in the African-American community. And one way of doing that is helping them become their own business owners. So the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship is key to that area. In our partnership in BioSTL is definitely one that is helping us to make sure that we have the right framework for this, and also making sure that we have a quality product once we are near the finish line of launching this center as well.
As we talk about these STEM industries, the demand for these jobs, we keep hearing over and over, is so huge that they're so plentiful that it's a good career path to go into. But I'm wondering what the barrier to entry is, especially in terms of if you're getting into some of these coding type careers, you've got to have math skills. How hard is it to break into the skills for some of these careers?
Well, a difficult thing to break into these skills is just having the right set of tools, right? Have the right set of skills for our students. And what we've done in the process of building a quality STEM program is we've done just that. We've given our students the right set of tools in the biology industry. We've given them the right set of tools in the math industry. And we are definitely working to make sure that we continue to expand our efforts, not only into those spaces, because we're also looking at in the future, making sure that we have a quality computer science program that is going to help our students in the tech world as well. So we have to just continue to build quality STEM programs that are going to give our students a good degree that's reputable from a national HBCU institutional in Harrisville State University, and make sure that we are also building good partnerships with folks like the BioSTLs of the world and other corporate companies and nonprofits that we have places to send our students to once we have produced them and graduated them.
Well, Ben Johnson, the VP of Programs for BioSTL, and Dr. Freddie Wills, the Harris Stowe State University Assistant VP for STEM Initiatives, thank you both so much for the time and the information. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us, for highlighting some of the excellent work that's going on at Harris Stowe, and we look forward to further collaboration with them and partners across the region to build the talent space here in St. Louis and help our companies thrive.
Yeah, and I thank you all as well for definitely bringing us to the table to shed some light on the great work that we're doing at Harris Stowe State University and also just our students in general. So this is a wonderful partnership. We look forward to continuing it, and it's going to bring great fruits to us and our students in the future.
Dr. Wills, where can people go to get more information on the STEM majors and other programs at Harris Stowe?
Well, you can always go to our website, which is www.hssu.com. You can get information there. And then people can also reach out to us via email and via phone as well. We have the Office of STEM Initiatives at the university, where we work to support our students and also support future students that want to engage with Harris Stowe State University as well.
And Ben, all of the different ways that BioSTL is involved in generating workforce development initiatives in St. Louis, where can people go to get up to speed on those?
Yeah, you can find us online at BioSTL.org, and on all of your social media channels at BioSTL.
All right, Ben and Freddie, thank you again so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
And stay tuned. More Nothing Impossible, presented by BioSTL, coming up after this on KMOX.
KMOX, at your service. BioSTL presents Nothing Impossible. BioSTL, driving the St. Louis innovation economy. Now, back to Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Well, as we talk about changing times and new technologies, Travis, I think, well, in the last few years, esports have certainly burst onto the scene, but especially in the last few months, I think, as people have been stuck inside and real sports have been trying to get off the ground, esports probably gaining even more in prominence.
Yeah, and especially here in St. Louis. I mean, we've talked on the show a couple of times about the successful esports programs out at Maryville University. And, you know, we probably all grew up with our parents saying, "What value is there in video games? Come on, go outside and play." Well, guess what? There's value in video games and playing them.
Yeah, and let's find out about a St. Louis startup that's getting into this business. We've got Austin Smith, who's founder and CEO of Mission Control, and Byron Abrig, who's co-founder and COO of this St. Louis startup. Thank you both so much for calling in.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
So first of all, just an introduction. What is Mission Control? What do you do?
Sure. Mission Control is a B2B SaaS platform for rec league esports. What that means is we're a sports league management software, just like some of you might use for your kids' sports leagues, like Sports Engine or Stack Sports or TeamSnap, except we just focus on leagues that are for video games, so competitive video gaming, which is esports. So if you, instead of joining the Summer Softball League on Tuesday nights, you can use our platform to join a Summer FIFA League or Summer Fortnite League instead.
Well, and you both have connections to Stadia Ventures and some of the work that's been done there. Michael, we've had Stadia Ventures on the the show a number of times, local, now global, but started here in St. Louis, accelerator and investment group that invests in sports-related technologies. Tell us about, you know, sports tech a little bit from your perspective, Byron and Austin. What's been the growth there?
Absolutely. Byron, why don't you go ahead and take a stab at that?
Sure. So great question. So Austin and I were very fortunate to work with Stadia when we were in university and then after we graduated. And from our time at Stadia, we learned so much about sports tech and the emerging industry that was esports. One of the things that we saw so frequently with startups in sports tech was their interest in focusing on working, appealing to the pros. There's such appeal of trying to, you know, sell to the Dallas Cowboys or the St. Louis Cardinals, but there's really so much opportunity that exists below that sphere. That was one of the things that drew us to start Mission Control, was focusing on the lower tiers in esports technology. But I think some of the things that, we really saw emerging and you continue to see with sports tech, one of the things around streaming in particular, streaming and the interactive experience while you're watching games. As sports has tried to get back to some semblance of normalcy and you now no longer have fans in the audience, how can you begin to provide a more premium experience for individuals that are watching at home on their TVs or on their phones, a similar type of interactivity that you may have while watching esports? How can we begin to provide that experience with sports tech as well? Something that we're really starting to see, and we're seeing a ton while we were at Stadia, and I think will only continue to grow.
I'm going to tell you a really weird story, but back when I was a kid with my basic Nintendo, I used to get the game, we had the game Monopoly, and I would set it up computer versus computer, like I wouldn't even play it. I would just set it up, and then my friends and I would bet on who was going to, which little token was going to win the game. And that's, you know, I won't age myself, but first Nintendo, that was a long time ago. At least it wasn't like an Atari 2600 when I was doing it. But this idea of watching like video games as entertainment, watching people play esports, talk a little bit about how that has evolved into a major industry now.
You know, I think you really touched on it. You know, what watching video games was like 20, 30 years ago. It was going to the local arcade and looking over your buddy's shoulder and watching them, you know, beat Donkey Kong or, you know, Space Invaders or what have you. And that has only continued to just evolve over time to now be at the point where, you know, you can hop on your phone and you see kids nowadays watching, you know, their favorite streamers more than they're watching traditional sports. I think part of the appeal is really not all that different from the appeal that you see in watching an NBA game. You know, you aspire as a kid to, you know, you're pretending to be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James in your backyard. You're now just seeing the exact same type of thing with Fortnite or Call of Duty. You know, it's fun to watch someone that has perfected an activity like basketball or like Call of Duty. And, you know, now with just the prevalence of technology, kids now are just aspiring to be a pro or a streamer like the people they watch on YouTube instead of Michael Jordan back in the day.
What have you seen specifically with the pandemic? You know, like Travis and I were talking on a recent show about telehealth and how it had existed. It had been pushed by companies. A lot of startups that are pretty well known had already, you know, founded based on that new technology. But widespread adoption hadn't necessarily taken place until the pandemic, and it kind of forced people to then go see their general practitioner or whomever via, you know, Zoom on their phone instead of going to the office. Have you seen the pandemic move adoption of this forward, maybe faster than you would have otherwise?
Michael, I think it's a great question, and I think there's two things at play here. I mean, one is that esports was a very popular, you know, and is a very popular thing before the pandemic. So this, our company started a year and a half ago. We weren't planning on there being something like this that forces everybody to have, you know, this digital community rather than physical community at its crazy time like this. So we were having success before this, and the reason is because the technology in gaming, and specifically for internet connectivity and the games being able to be more connected than ever before, it's been a lot easier to have something like recreational gaming and competitive gaming. So that was already accelerating. However, what the pandemic made necessary was the idea that people still need to lean on each other, especially during a hard time like now. And if you can't do it physically, well, then you have to do it digitally. And what we do is gather and grow communities. That is our main purpose of this business. And we just happen to use Rec League Esports as a way to grow these communities and gather these communities. And for that, a lot of our customers, that's exactly the value that we're bringing to them right now. Whether it's a park and recs department or a college intramural department, they're trying to connect people in their community to make this time a little less crazy, a little more normal. And that happens to be what we do. So we've seen it accelerated, but I don't think it's changed the path of this business. It's just made us run a little bit faster.
Well, speaking of acceleration, it's been a pretty busy and exciting couple months for you all. Tell us about, you brought on some new partners, you've hired some great folks, you're also recruiting. You've raised some money. Tell us about the last few months for Mission Control.
Yeah, it's been quite the couple of months. In the last couple of months, I mean, earlier this year, we were a pre-revenue company. We turned on the revenue faucets earlier this year. We grew from 35 customers in early February to over 170 now. In that time, we've raised a seed round, $1.75 million from a couple of great Midwest investors. We've hired, in the first part of this year, a CRO who used to work at Complexity Gaming, which is a pro esports team owned by Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. We've hired a great CTO with plenty of experience and are continuing to expand the team. We've got a lot of great St. Louis young talent on the team and are really excited for the growth from here. We signed some great partnerships with Special Olympics, GameStop, and Stack Sports, which is a major league manager provider, and there's a lot of growth on the horizon. So from here, it's just really harnessing the market opportunity that we have, putting together this great team, and then just kind of hustling.
Let me jump in with a follow-up. You mentioned Special Olympics, and Michael and I talk a lot on the show about inclusion and accessibility. What role do esports play when it comes to accessibility, especially for those with maybe some physical challenges?
Well, that's one of the most exciting parts about esports, at least to me, is a lot of people think of esports or video gaming being as that character named Warlock from Live Free or Die Hard, some loner in a basement with overgrown hair and Cheeto, puffed Cheeto stuff on his cheeks. Like, that is not necessarily what gaming is. What gaming is spending time with friends and playing something fun like Mario Kart or a game that brings people together. I mean, the biggest stat here for me is 164 million people in the United States who play video games. 103 million of these play video games with others, and that's with others an average of 8 hours a week. Hmm. Gaming is a massive community experience, and even more so, 48% of the people on our platform have not interacted with their community rec before, other than this esports experience. So my point here on all this is that it's incredibly accessible. Gaming can invite so many people in because of the very large array of interests that it goes across, the different genres, whether it's, a shooter game or a sports game or a fantasy game. That can interest a lot of different amount of people. And the abilities, you don't have to be, the tallest person in the room or the strongest person in the room. You just have to be someone who enjoys this genre, this fantasy, this experience. And that's why it's so widely accessible and why it's one of the, biggest things in the States and growing quickly.
One thing that I would add on that is you're also starting to see the publishers themselves focus on greater accessibility within games, whether it's additional auditory or visual enhancements or changes, so that individuals with different abilities have the ability to have the same type of experience that others may have in a game. You have game developers or the console developers like Microsoft who have focused on building accessible controllers. Gaming and esports really have the opportunity to democratize competition and provide anyone of any ability the opportunity to have that same type of experience of being a part of a team, of competing in a rec league. It just may be from the comfort of their home instead of a local basketball court or soccer field.
Well, to wrap things up, I want to ask about St. Louis and the impact that being located here has had on the growth of the company. You've got a great watermark with the St. Louis logo at the bottom of your website. Austin, I know you and I have run into each other at SLU entrepreneurialism events. Talk about how growing this startup in St. Louis specifically, as opposed to some other cities that may come to mind. Why here and how's it been?
Well, I mean, The why here question is, the classic born and raised in St. Louis answer, but then why stay here, I think, is one of the biggest arguments or the biggest thing to talk about. And what Byron and I met at St. Louis University and what St. Louis University folk did to us is really grow our passion for the city and entrepreneurship in the city. And that was the start for us, but they are aided by so many great support organizations in the city, whether it's I-10 or BioSTL or Venture Cafe. There's a hunger in the city that extends beyond, hey, let's help a startup so we can invest and make some money. What it gets down to is let's build this city by building the economy, growing the wealth of the people in this city, creating jobs, and building a community that everybody wants to live in. And that is what drives me and makes it so exciting, because the entire city backs it, you know, backs a small startup. You know, we had eight people working on our company, and the entire city is excited to back us because they can see the potential of growing the wealth, the economy, creating jobs in this city. And that's what excites me, because I feel like there's a great future of this city, and it's because of the great support organizations, the universities, and everybody on board that wants to champion growing the city through creating great companies and great communities.
All right. Well, Byron and Austin, thank you so much for taking some time and helping us catch up with what's going on with you and Mission Control. For those of you out there that have a rec league, especially a virtual rec league around gaming, check out missioncontrol.gg, missioncontrol.gg, and support local startups and help your community continue to thrive online. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
And stick around for more Nothing Impossible right after this, presented by BioSTL.
KMOX, at your service. BioSTL presents Nothing Impossible. BioSTL, driving the St. Louis innovation economy. Now, back to Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Well, this is new coming to St. Louis. St. Louis City SC. That's the Major League Soccer team. We learned the identity, the brand, the crest, the logo, the colors. A little bit of debate over whether it's pink or red or reddish pink. But we did learn all the details about St. Louis City SC this week. What's the reaction been? Here's team owner Carolyn Kindle-Betts. Also talked with chief brand architect Lee Broughton.
First of all, Carolyn, let me just ask, now that the name is out there, of course, the Peanut Gallery weighs in and reaction is all over the place. So what are your thoughts about how St. Louis has reacted to the name?
Well, first of all, good morning, and thank you for having us. No, I mean, I honestly think people reacted pretty well. I mean, we knew going in that there was always going to be somebody that was going to have an opinion that didn't necessarily agree with ours. So we were prepared for that. I will say, I think I was surprised at how many people loved the colors. It seems that, you know, people are just so excited that we have different colors and the crest. I mean, people loved the crest. So I would tell you that I think everybody was super excited, and it far exceeded my expectations for sure.
And Carolyn and Lee Broughton, the chief brand architect, joining us. And, you know, right now when we say the word city, it could have a different connotation depending on where you're from, who you are. It's used to describe a political boundary. Some people may have a negative connotation with the word. But in a decade, are you hoping that the word city and the feeling when we hear that word will be more along the lines of when we hear the Cardinals, the Blues, those proper names?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think that city is actually derived from the word citizen. So it's actually about the residents in the region and the city being the heartbeat of that region. And we really feel that we have an ambition as a sports team to really be a part of the lifeblood of the community. And it's something that the residents are going to be able to really get behind, rally behind, feel as part of their identity, and it's kind of where you get the inspiration from the St. Louis flag. The modernization of the colors, as Carolyn mentioned, has been really well embraced, and the geographical landmarks that are a part of the crest in an abstracted way, I think, are all real salutes to a phenomenal region that is aspiring for growth and cultural renaissance. So we think in 10 years' time, you'll look back. And we'll definitely say that the football club, the soccer team, was a part of that.
Carolyn and Lee, I love the fact that you call it a soccer club. That's definitely American. But I also like what you explained yesterday in there's a double meaning to that SC, isn't there?
Yes, there absolutely is. Essentially, St. Louis has had soccer in America longer than even the MLS has been around. And so, you know, it goes back to the early 1900s. In the 1950s, there was a big St. Louis contingent on the American team that beat the Brits. And then I think there's been a St. Louis influence on the American team for decades since, too. So we've been playing the beautiful game for longer than a lot of the other cities that we will be looking forward to competing with in 2023. So America's first soccer capital is the double entendre of SC.
All right, real quick question, because when people saw the logo, they were like, is it pink? Is it red? What is the official name of that color?
So the official name is City Red, but I asked Lee to kind of find a little bit of a pinkish tone to it so that I can still wear all of my pink dresses and technically be in the City Red band.
Yeah, we've been enjoying a little bit of banter with the fans because they're saying, why don't you just own pink? And that there is actually a technical reason why it is in the red palette, because it is, if it's going to be our home color, it has to be a dark. So whilst it is a pinky hue, because we had one job to do and make sure that we were able to pick Carolyn's favorite color, the fact of the matter is it's more red than it is pink, even though we're really proud of the fuchsia-esque-ness of it.
People detail-oriented in St. Louis, I saw some on social media asking for the Pantone number for the color so they could do their own analysis. Carolyn, I'm wondering about the merchandise sales. It looked like yesterday the website may have gone down for a little bit due to all of the demand. A lot of people going to the MLS site to pick up some merch. Did you see a lot of sales on this first day?
We did. And, you know, it's funny. I was kind of choking with Lee. You know, when my grandfather started Enterprise, he would let the phone ring to think that he was busy. And so the equivalent to that is the, I need the site to crash because that many people were going to it. So, you know, I mean, obviously we didn't want that to happen, but I think that we were so excited that there was that much excitement. I was getting text messages to like, do you need to have somebody fix your website? So as far as actual sales, I don't think we've had numbers come in yet. But, you know, nothing makes you happier when your friends are like, I just bought three scarves or I bought my license plate cover. So I think we were very surprised, overwhelmed, certainly appreciative of all the people trying to buy merchandise.
And thank you for joining us for this edition of Nothing Impossible, presented by BioSTL. More innovation talk next week on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.